Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, if someone were to come up to you and ask you, what does it mean to be a Christian? How would you respond? What would be your answer? Would you go to the Word of God and would you explain to them what it means to be a Christian and how you became a Christian and all of the things that pertain to the life of a Christian? Would you find that in the teaching of God's Word? Or would you come up with some other thing of what you do and how you did this, and because you did this, you were in favor with God, and so on and so forth? Because that's what many people would say. Many people would say that because they were weak, they trusted in Jesus Christ. Because they were confirmed into the church, because they were baptized into the church, because they came from Christian parents, because they were raised in a Christian home, they were catechized, they read their Bible regularly, they are people that are of prayer, they do good works, service, church attendance, on and on and on, always something that man does, and that's why they're a Christian. But that's not what our text says. Our text has nothing to do with man's work. Man always wants to sneak works in the back door. He always wants a little credit, a little glory for himself in making himself right with God. That's what he thinks, that he makes himself right with God. According to the teaching of Scripture, no man makes himself right with God. God reconciles us to himself. God is the reconciler. You don't make the first approach. You don't first do turn to the Lord and then He acts. No, He's the one who causes any turning of the heart. He is the one who comes to us. As in Adam, so also in us, beloved. As Adam ran from the Lord in the garden, and it's God who came to him, Adam would never have returned to the Lord unless God had come to him first. And this is what we see. God does come to Adam, and Adam does turn to the Lord. But he only does so because God is the initiator. God is the reconciler. And so you have to be clear, because there are many who will say that they are saved because of the things that they do. But yet the Scriptures teach that there are many that have an outward confession without an inward possession. They have an outward faith, which they declare, but they don't have an inward possession. Now, we need to be careful with this, because this is what the Scriptures teach. And we need to examine the truth of God's Word so that we are not in ourselves, we're not confused, or we are not led astray by the false teaching that goes on. Not everybody that's a church member is redeemed. Just because you're a member of a church, there's no magic in that. There's nothing inherently that causes God to save you because you're a member of a church. If you are redeemed, you will be a member of a church. I think this is where the confusion is, that just because somebody is a member, we automatically say, well, they're a member of the church, they're saved. No. Jesus said there are many tares that are mixed in with the wheat. Think about this in Article 29 of the Belgian Confession. I mentioned this last Lord's Day. It talks about the three marks of a true church. But that confession also goes on and says there are many hypocrites mixed in with the good. And it says they are in the church externally, but they're not of the church. They're not of the essence of the church. They're not in the invisible church. They're not engrafted into the Lord Jesus Christ, although they may have been in the external church, in the visible church. But they're not of the essence of the true church. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read a portion here, about 10 verses. And just let your eyes look upon this and think about what Jesus says here. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Many that go in the wide gate that lead to destruction. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are very few who find it. And there are very few who find it because you have to be looking for the narrow gate, and that entails the regenerating work of the Spirit of God that causes you to stay on the straight and narrow path and desire the narrow path which leads to life. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, and therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Not everyone, notice, who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Notice here that these people are calling Jesus, Lord, Lord, a term of familiarity. And he turns and tells them, I don't know you. Not that he didn't know about them. He didn't have a relationship with them. To know in the scripture is intimacy. They were not in him and he was not in them. He says the same thing to the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 wise, 5 foolish. And Jesus said to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I never knew you, he said. Think of Judas. Judas was among the 12, and he was cast out. He was not one who was known by Jesus Christ. He had no relationship with Jesus Christ. He would be externally in the church, and internally, there was no possession of faith. He was not of the essence of the church. He was not born of the Spirit of God. Demas, the Apostle Paul says, has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Well, John says that if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For all that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. The one who does the will of God is the one who abides forever. The one who does the will of God is the one who is brought onto the straight and narrow road by the working of the Holy Spirit and causing them to be born again. Paul says this, 2 Corinthians 13. Examine yourselves to see whether or not you're in the faith. This is the teaching of Scripture speaking to us, to examine your own heart. That's why I ask these questions, sometimes rhetorical, some not, in the congregation. The Scripture asks these questions. The Scripture has conditional clauses. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have heard His voice, and my question is, have you heard Him? Are you believing in Him? Are you trusting Him as the only way of salvation, as your forgiveness before God? Paul says, examine yourselves to see whether or not you are in the faith, to know whether or not Christ is in you. Is Christ in you? This is what our text teaches this morning. If any man or anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Notice, therefore, takes us back to what the Apostle Paul has been teaching. This whole chapter is going to be about reconciliation, that God reconciles man to himself. And he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you no longer know Christ after the flesh. You no longer view him in that way. You don't have a fleshly mind anymore. You view Christ. You understand Christ. You worship Christ because of the working of the Holy Spirit in your soul. You've been raised up spiritually and you view Christ, you understand Christ, you know Christ according to the Word, according to His own testimony. It's not you saying, oh, I believe that Jesus is dot, dot, dot. You say what God says in His Word. Many today talk about a God of love to the exclusion of a God of judgment. That's a God of your own making. You don't make God, beloved. You worship Him as He declares Himself in His Word. The moment we say, my God is a God of love and not a God of justice, you violate the second commandment. You're no longer worshiping God as He reveals Himself and commands to be worshiped in His Word. Now, notice the phrase, if anyone is in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? You know, Paul uses that continually in the book of Ephesians. But to be in Christ is to have union with Jesus Christ. It's to be spiritually united to Him. It's a living, vital bond relationship in Jesus Christ. You are in Him. You are fused into Jesus Christ. He is in you and you are in Him. That's what it means to be in Jesus Christ. Now, let me demonstrate this with the Greek words. En Christo is the phrase that's used there. As I said, the Apostle Paul uses this 87 times in the New Testament, in Christ. It's a significant phrase. It's a salvific phrase. When you are one of the redeemed, you need to know what it means to be in Jesus Christ. There is the Greek term ek, which means into. There is also the Greek term, or eisis, into. Ek is out or from out or out with. So think of it this way. You're outside this morning and you came into the front door. But you weren't in the worship area, just came into the front door. You came from outside or from without. So you were ek and you came eis into. And then here in this worship area is the in that he's speaking about in Christ. Just as an analogy. Follow me here. You came through those doors and you came into the area that we worship the true and living God. At one point, you were outside of even the building. Then you came into the building. And then you came in to the worship area. This is what it means. You are in Christ. You're not outside looking at Him. You're not one who is standing on the periphery, just looking and being closer than you were outside, but being around the edges. This is seen in temple worship in the Old Covenant. Those who were excluded, those that came into the outer court, and those that went right in to worship the true and living God. We are in Christ. You are in Him. That's why Paul could say in Ephesians 2 that you are in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Notice, I in Him, Him in me. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All the blessings of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. All the spiritual blessings are yours in Christ Jesus. You got the idea. Are you in Christ Jesus, united to Him by a true and living faith? If you are, the Apostle Paul says, you're a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, if you're looking at your English translation there, let me just point something out here. Notice he says a new creation. The old things have passed away and all things are becoming new. The have passed away is an aorist tense. And the things have become is in a perfect tense. Now, both have reference to something that happened in past time that has a continuing result in the future. So in other words, if you are in Christ, you have a different nature. You see, you are a branch united to the vine. And because you are a branch united to the vine, His life flows through you. His life is in you. You are animated, energized, you are uplifted, you are encouraged, you are emboldened by the Christ who dwells in you by His Holy Spirit. Think of that imagery. The branch united to the vine, the life juices of the vine flow into that branch. And what does it do? It necessarily produces fruit. Good fruit. That's what we read in that Matthew 7 passage. But if the branch does not have life flowing to it, what does it do? It withers and it dies and it's broken off and it's thrown into the fire. It has no life, so why take up the space? If you're in Christ, you are united to Him and you bear good fruits. That's why we are known by the fruit that we bear. That's why I asked last Lord's Day, in your life, is it exemplifying the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit? If it's the fruit of the Spirit, you're in Jesus Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, self-control, faithfulness. That's the work of the Spirit in your life because you are united to Jesus Christ. You are in Him. If you're not in Him, Paul says the works of the flesh are evident. fornication, ungodliness, lying, hatred, adultery, idolatry, lasciviousness, slander, backbiting. It goes on. In Christ, Christ's fruit flows through you. So he says the old things have passed away. The hatred, the enmity, all of that which once were ours in Adam have passed. We're no longer in Adam. Paul makes it clear in Romans 6, there is a new creation, a new nature. There is a passing of the old into the new. It's the caterpillar that ends up coming out as a butterfly. It's a whole new creation. It's something altogether new is what he means. It's not a retread. It's not a making over. It's not a painting over the old building. It's a whole new different structure. That's why the world does not know us, doesn't understand us. And what that means is you think differently. Now, understand me, beloved. I'm not talking about the perfection in your life. It's not the perfection in your life. It's the direction in your life. It's the fruit that you bear. It's what's seen in your life. It's your love to Christ. Are you one that has love to Christ and you sing the song, "More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee"? Are you one of those? This is what he's talking about here. The old things, the hatred for God, the hatred for our neighbor. That's how we were. You once were these things. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2. And what is one who is dead in his trespasses and sins? How does he live his life? The only way that he can. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Live according to the things of this world. Love the things of this world. Resonate with the world. Flows right with the world. You see, the world is on the broad road that leads to destruction. And so the question is, are you a new creation? Are you in Christ? Are you thinking according to the mind of Christ? Because that's what Paul says. If you're in Christ, you have the mind of Christ. And if the mind of Christ is in you, you don't see things the same way. You don't see things as you once did when you were in Adam. You see differently. You look at the world differently. You have a whole perspective on life and eternity and heaven and hell and the church and the world. You have a whole new perspective. And therefore, the world does not know you. The world does not accept you because you don't walk according to the ways of the world. You are being transformed continually by the renewing of your mind. Your mind, you think differently. What do you think when you die is going to happen to you? What does the Bible say about a believer being absent from the body? He is present with the Lord. Well, the world says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. And there is no after tomorrow. There is no eternity. This is all there is. That's why you see the slogans, grab for all the gusto you can get. Live for today. Live for now. After all, you deserve it. You deserve everything. You deserve everything in the world. Go for it. That's the mentality of the world. There's no hope in that. The only hope they have is hell. That's it. And that's the life of the broad road that leads to destruction. The works of the flesh. Paul says, if you're in Christ, you are an altogether new creation. God has created you anew. You didn't do it. God has created you anew. Think about this Galatians 6:15. He says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. In Christ, there is a new creation. That's why when Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul, he became a new creation in Christ. And they didn't understand who he was. Even the church was saying, boy, this is the guy who came to persecute us. And something has radically changed. The gospel that he once persecuted is the gospel that he now preaches. That's the radical change that takes place with a new creation, with the old passing away. You see, Paul says that the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. You see, beloved, we demonstrate ourselves to be new creations. And you do so by the way you think. Primarily, it begins there. If you have a new heart, that means you have a new thinking. You have new thinking, you have new speaking. You have new speaking, you have new living. From the heart flow all these things, Jesus said. What comes out of the mouth is coming from the heart. So let me say it this way. You take your words this past week. From last Sunday after worship to this morning. You think about all the words that you spoke. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, this morning. You gather up all those words, and what do those words demonstrate about your heart? Do they demonstrate that you are one in Christ Jesus? Or are you one who is externally in the church, but not of the essence of the church? What does it demonstrate? Because Jesus said, from the heart, the mouth speaks. The new creation, as the Apostle Paul, being a new creation, preached the gospel he once tried to destroy. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ, who he once tried to destroy. He loved the church of Jesus Christ that he once tried to destroy. How do you demonstrate that you love the church of Jesus Christ? You edify, you build up, you encourage, you speak the truth. Notice, it is simply the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? That's how you live your life that edifies those that are in Christ Jesus. The new creation. The new things have come. As I said, you have a new way of thinking, and therefore you have a new desires. You have new dispositions of the will. You have new affections. You have new emotions. You're altogether new. There's things going on in you that had never gone on in you before. And the more that you are exercising the means of grace, the more that you grow in the knowledge of the truth, the more you are conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, the more it's exemplified in your life that you are one who is in Jesus Christ. And the fruits of righteousness are seen in your life. Is that you, beloved? Are you in Christ Jesus? The conditional clause is, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. It used to bother me. People used to say things like, that's just how they are. One particular person that I remember, very nasty individual. I don't know how other to say it. Just a nasty person. A member of the congregation, but a nasty person. And somebody said to me one time, that's just how they are. And I took offense to that. Because that's not how you are, beloved, in Christ Jesus. That may be one who is in Adam, and that's just how they are. But not in Christ Jesus. You have the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your soul. You have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust in the power of God. You are one that is assured of your salvation. You are one that knows you are a child of the true and living God. And you have a godly sorrow for your sin. And you have filial fear in your heart. You do not want to offend the God who has redeemed you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Behold, all things have become new. You are one who loves the church. You are one who loves to worship the true and living God. It's not perfected in this life, but that is the direction and the desire that's in your soul. You love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you show that by bowing to his word. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I tell you? How can you demonstrate you love Jesus when you don't want him to rule over you with his word? It's his word that demonstrates, beloved, in our bowing to his word, that we have been made a new creation in Jesus Christ. New desires. Paul once persecuted, now he wants to be with the people of God. Paul once despised the gospel, now he wants to preach it everywhere he goes. Completely new change that has taken place in this man's life, that even the church was devastated, was blown away by what happened in this man's life. Why? Because he is altogether new. That old man, he died in Adam. He died. He has been raised up with Jesus Christ now. And so he is altogether new. He examined your heart on this matter. You know, each of us needs to examine our heart. Are you in Christ? Have you heard him? Are you trusting in him? Are you loving him? Are you believing his word? That's what those do who have been made anew by God. And remember, it's not you making yourself alive. It's God doing it by His Spirit and His Word. You think of John 3, our scripture reading. And when Jesus came, and Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he began talking to him, he didn't even indulge any of that conversation. He simply said, "You need to be born again." Now, I ask you, beloved, are those terms foreign to you? Born again? They were foreign to Nicodemus. What does he mean by this born again stuff? How can this happen? I can't crawl into my mother's womb and be born again. And what he means by that is he has amassed a whole catalog of works. How can he start over again? He knew he couldn't crawl into his mother's womb. That's not what he's saying. He's simply saying, my works, righteousness, and all the things that I've done, how can I do this over again? How can I start again and amass what I have? And Jesus simply said again, unless you're born again of the water and the Spirit, you cannot even see the kingdom of heaven. You're a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? The teacher of Israel. The Old Testament spoke about this. Isaiah spoke about this. Jeremiah spoke about this. Ezekiel spoke about this. You must be born of the Spirit of God. You must be raised up new. And notice, it's the wind blows where it wills. You can feel it on your face. You can hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it's coming or where it's going. Ever seen those graphs when they have the wind in a certain area and it's going in all different directions? How does that happen? Here it's blowing from the east, it's blowing to the north, it's blowing to the west over there. How does that take place? And Jesus said, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. It's an ineffable work of the Spirit of God that He invades the inmost recesses of the soul. And He raises you up spiritually. And He gives you new life. That which was heretofore dead is now made alive. And what it means to be made alive is you have an affection in your soul for the biblical Jesus. Not the Jesus of your imagination, but the biblical Jesus. The Jesus of Scripture. The Son of the Father Almighty. This is who you worship, and you close with Him in all of His offices. He is your prophet who declares the word to you. He is your priest who has lived in your place, condemned He stood. He is your King who rules over you by His word and His Holy Spirit. And He says, bow to me. And that's what those who are born of Christ do. We bow to Him because we are new creations in Christ. We have been recreated for this very purpose. And Paul says, and these all things, they're from God. It's not according to man's willing or man's running, but according to God who shows mercy. The authority to believe on Him was given to those who were not born of the flesh, nor of the will of man, nor of blood, but born of the Holy Spirit, born of God. Those who have been given the right to believe on the only Savior Jesus, those who are born from above. And beloved, the sphere that the Holy Spirit works to do this work is through the means of grace, the preaching and the teaching of His Word. That's why I continue to commend you to bring your children. The work that the Holy Spirit does is in the ministry of the Word. That's where He raises up the spiritually dead. That's where He gives new life. Keep on bringing them. Keep on bringing them under the Word of God in your homes. Keep on reading the Scriptures to them. Keep on explaining to them the Word of God. Keep on calling them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just don't assume these things, beloved. You call them to believe in. And that's what you need to do, kids. You need to believe on Christ. And I already know that apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit causing you to be born again, it cannot happen. But this is the very place and the very means in which He does that work. So we pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit among us. He has reconciled us to Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a new creation, believes. I am right with God. I am right with God, and all of my sins have been dealt with once for all time in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. I am forgiven. I am loved. I am righteous in Jesus Christ. All of the benefits that Christ has merited, all of His works have become mine through faith, which God wrought in my soul. That's what happens to those who are in Christ. That's what it means to be reconciled with God. You are no longer at enmity with God. You are no longer fighting against the Word of God. You are no longer going your own way. You are going the way of the Word. Not the way of the world, the way of the Word. And to be one who goes the way of the Word, you must be in the Word, huh? You must know the Word. You must delight in the Word. And this is what God does. He reconciles us to Himself. Paul goes on in this chapter and he says, I plead with you. I plead with you. As God was in Christ reconciling the world and Himself, be reconciled to God. Put down the weapons of warfare against the true and living God and come to Jesus. When God lays down His weapons of warfare, and He grabs hold of His people and He brings them to Himself, He not only puts away the enmity, but immediately there is a love that is infused in the soul. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we love God and we worship Him. And as I said, we follow hard after Him. That is an evidence of those who are in Christ Jesus by the working of the Spirit of God. No credit, no glory goes to man here. This is all of God's doing. And therefore, as those who are new creations, all honor, all glory, and all praise goes to the God who has redeemed us to become His own. That's why John says, what manner of love is this? That we should be called the children of the living God. Are you trusting Him, beloved? Look to Him and be saved. Amen. Shall we pray?